Hey, good luck to everybody. Wonderful to see some of the familiar faces back with us. Even the boxes, I don't see the faces, I see the names. I know the faces behind the names, so it's always good to see everybody here, really, really. Especially a shkoyach to some of the alumni who helped coordinate the shiur. Special thank you to Rue Berman, who we gave him a buy on this year since it is 5 o'clock in the morning in Eretz Yisrael, and no doubt he was at Tzlichas till 2 in the morning, so we gave him a little bit of a break on this one, but he was behind the scenes preparing and helping this one. And Zach Deitch also was very helpful in terms of just putting together some of the logistics, and of course a thank you to Henry for helping in terms of the Zoom and the recording, etc. I kind of think of a better way to get ready for Tzlichas than to sit together and learn a sugya. To learn a sugya and yana diyoma sugya, sugya related to Rosh Hashanah, will hopefully put us into the right spirit of things, the right mood in terms of beginning the Yom Narim season, which is very, very shortly upon us. There is a machlokes in the Gaonim about the precise nusach tefillah for Rosh Hashanah. When we begin in the davening, both in terms of the Shemoneh Esrei, as well as in terms of Kiddush. So we introduce the Kedushas Hayom with Vatitem Lanu Hashem Elokeinu B'Ahava. Not a great surprise. That's always the introduction for Yom Tovim. But then some Gaonim say that we insert the following phrase, Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sosa, Es Yom Zikarna Zeh Yom Tshuva Mikra Kodesh. Again, not a great surprise. That's the phrase, Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sosa, that is said for all the Yom Tovim, for the Shosh Regolim. And there was one text, the old Nuscha Tefillah from days back to the Gaonim, would insert that same phrase in the davening for Rosh Hashanah as well. And the Rosh quotes in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah the other opinion also, which is of course the custom that we have, that we deliberately leave out that phrase, Mo'adim L'Simcha Chag B'Zman Masos. We get right to the point. We get right to Vatitin Lan Hashem Zikor Nazeh, deliberately leaving out that introduction of Mo'adim L'Simcha. The question is, what is the Nekudas HaMachloikis? Is this just a machloikis and a nusach tefillah, or is it something much, much fundamental, much more, much, much more basic in terms of understanding what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is all about? Is it appropriate to mention Mo'adim L'Simcha, or is it appropriate dafka not to mention Mo'adim L'Simcha? So the simple pshat in this machloikis is that although this machloikis reflects itself in a question of nusach tefillah, it's really based on a machloikis on a level of deraisa. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah? Why should there be a mitzvah? Or why should there not be a mitzvah? So probably the answer to that question is really a throwback to a general question about the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. Just what is Simchas Yontif? As we've said many, many times over throughout all the years of Shiur, if you want to understand whether to equate B to A, you have to understand what A is. If you don't understand the characteristics of A, it's going to be very, very difficult to know whether we should extrapolate properly to B. So we want to know whether we should extrapolate from the Shalosh Regolim. Shalosh Regolim, obviously there's mitzvah simcha, no question about that. Is it appropriate to carry over the mitzvah simcha from Shalosh Regolim to Rosh Hashanah? So in order to answer that question, we have to understand, well, what is the mitzvah simcha on Shalosh Regolim all about? How does that mitzvah play out? If we understand that mitzvah, then we have a fighting chance to understand whether it applies to Rosh Hashanah. So yeah, Duam of Foursomes, the famous Machlekes, no doubt we spoke about this over the years, the different contexts in Shiur. A very, very famous machlokes between Tosis and the Rambam, what the very essence of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is, how one goes about practically to perform the mitzvah of Samach ben Chayecha. Tosis has a startling statement in Maseches Moikot and Afidar Mabez, where Tosis claims that the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, as we know it today, doesn't really exist on a level of Deraisa. The mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, the definition of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, according to Tosis ben HaTorah, is only in the context of Beis HaMikdash, it only is true when you come Aliyah L'Regel and you partake of Besar Shlomim and you eat B'Kedusha V'Tahara, the meat of the Besar Shlomim, Al Zeh Nema B'Torah V'Semachta B'Chagecha. How do we know that? What's the source for that? Actually, it was the post of this week's parasha. The Torah concerning Har Grizman Har Evel describes when you come and you cobble the Torah again at Har Grizman Har Evel and you build a Mizbeach as a time of Simcha. So Tosis claims, based on their reading of the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that the definition of Simchas Yontif in HaTorah is linked to Mikdash, And the fact that we have Bosor and Yayin, and we take our kids to the amusement park, and we buy our wife's clothing, and all the other fun things that we associate with Yom Tov Sestaisis, Hakol Mikol Kol, those are all mitzvos midrabbanan, midaraisas, because Yom Tov doesn't exist out of the context of Mikdash. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, because Yom Tov writes explicitly that although it's true, because Manchem Besim Mikdash Ekayam, you're supposed to bring kavod, you're supposed to eat Shabbos Simcha, but yesh b'chlal simcha zu, gam achilas bosav yayin, the Rambam says, there are other manifestations of simcha we call in halacha d'shar simachos, are also true even on the level of deraisa. So the Rambam does conceive of simcha out of the context of mikdash. So l'chore, that's the nekudas machlokes. Should there be a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah? So according to Tosfos, it's inconceivable. On the level of deraisa, for sure not. There's no mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah because there's no mikdash on Rosh Hashanah. There's no bisim mikdash, there's no simchas yontif, there's no shami simcha. There's no mitzvah b'li al regel. Nobody goes to the Beis HaMikdash. You want to go get gezunt, hey, you want to go to Beis HaMikdash Rosh Hashanah, that's nice. But there's no chiv b'li al regel. There's no mitzvah zachilut b'sar shlomim. And therefore, it would be inappropriate to talk about simchas yontif, even though it's true that Tosfos agrees that with the Rabbanon, they instituted simcha even out of the mikdash. That means when you have a day like Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot that should have had simchas yontif deraisa, and Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so Chazal instituted as a booby prize, a mitzvah of simchas yontif midrabbanim. But a day that's not nitfas is a yom simcha min haTorah, so all of a sudden on the 12th day of Shvat, they're going to institute a mitzvah of simchas yontif midrabbanim, like mehecha teisa, why should they exist this thing? So since Rosh Hashanah is not a time of mikdash, it's not a time of bechiras hakarbanos, therefore mehecha teisa, there would be a mitzvah midrabbanim of simchas yontif. So therefore, according to Tosfos, not min haTorah, not midrabbanim is this simchas yontif. According to the Rambam, who understood that you could have simchas yontif min haTorah even outside of mikdash. So l'chora, it is very much conceivable and probably correct that there would be a mitzvah simchas yontif in Rosh Hashanah min haTorah. And therefore, one could argue that the nekudas hamachlokes between the nusach ha-ge'onim, that some ge'onim had the tradition of saying mo'adim simchas chag with manu masasam, that would be in sync with the shita Rambam, that there is the mitzvah simchas in Rosh Hashanah. And other Goyim who said, no, it's not appropriate to mention Mu'adim of Simcha because it's not as matter of Simcha, would be in sync with Shitas HaTosfos that there's no mitzvah Simcha. That would be the Pashas HaDvarim in what the Nekudas HaMachlokes and the Nuscha Tefillah is all about. But the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, Rav Zsolti, has a different twist, different Mahalach of Nisugya. Rav Zsolti works with the assumptions, we'll see a little bit later on, some Achronim write this way, it's a double poshut. Rav Zsolti suggests that it is inconceivable that there's no mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Avadin is a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So why does some Goyim say we don't mention it in the tefillah? For the following reason. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that according to all the rules of Hilchos Hallel, we should have recited Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur for that matter, the Gemara says, because these are Yom Tovim and Yom Tovim Achayovim in the recitation of Hallel. It's clear from the Gemara that Yom Tov, even not in the context of Neis, is a Mechayev Halal. There are two Chiyuvim Halal. Neis is a Mechayev, and Yom Tov is a separate Mechayev. So it's clear from the Gemara that Rosh Hashanah should have warranted, should have required a Halal. According to the Ramban, it could be maybe from the level of the Raisa. We should have said Halal on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says no. The Gemara backpedals and says no. You don't say Halal on Rosh Hashanah. You know why? Because Sifre Chayev, Sifre Meisim, Sifre Lefan, Batem, Mishira. The books of life and death are open up in front of the Kisei HaKovod, and you're going to say Shira. How can you do such a thing? It's inappropriate to say Hallel on the day of Sifri Chaim, Sifri Meisim, Sukhul Afanov. Says Rav Zsolti, what do you see from this Gemara? That there are certain things in Hilchos Tefillah that really should be said in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah really should be on par with the other Yom Tovim in terms of recitation of Hallel. And yet, in deference to the fact that it's a Yom HaDin, to highlight the fact that it's a Yom HaDin, we dafka keep on the hush-hush, the hollow part of Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to make too much of the hollow of Rosh Hashanah. It's going to detract from the solemnness of the day. And therefore, the same is true when it comes to Mu'adim, the Simcha, and Musman, and Musos. And says Rosh Hashanah, it's not that a pidin, it's not as man Simcha. No, it's as man Simcha. It's a mitzvah there, I simcha as yontif. Says Rosh Hashanah, but we don't talk about it. Keep it on the back burner. You don't want to make too much. You don't want to announce. You don't want to publicize it. It's a yayim, a simcha. Talking too much about the Simchas Yontif Shabbat is going to detract from the Yom HaDin Shabbat, the Meir Pacha, Ner Ba'ayim, and the Yom HaDin. And therefore, the same way we delete Halal for that reason, Hilchas Tefillah dictates that we delete Mu'adim Zman Musos. But it's not a Machloikas on a level of Deraisa. So the fascinating new insight of Rav Zsolti. But again, putting aside this chiddush shtutar mishis yavetz, the pashut pshat is that this machlokes agoinim is really fundamental, really very basic, and it really touches on the core question: is this simchas yontif on Rosh Hashanah? Which in turn really is almost a spillover from is there simchas yontif at the context of Beis Hamikdash. But perhaps one could argue there's almost like a middle ground, a little bit of a compromise view. The question is that simchas yontif in Rosh Hashanah is not so extreme, like it's an absolute yes or an absolute no, but it could be that there's a middle position, and the middle position may be that there's to some degree a mitzvah of simchas yontif in Rosh Hashanah, but it's not quite on par with the simchas yontif of the Shalosh Regalim. So as we've said many, many times in Shir over the years, extreme positions in halacha and life are very easy to explain. They're not necessarily right, but they're easy to explain. To take the view that there's an absolute simchas yontif on Rosh Hashanah and mamish l'chol dover, like no less than Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos, is easy to say. It's yontif and simchas yontif, and you don't need kavanas for sure. To say that there's absolutely zero simchas yontif on Rosh Hashanah is nothing to do with the Shalosh Regalim because there's no kavanas on Beis Hamikdash is also very easy to explain. But we want to walk a tightrope in halacha, and we want to suggest the following. We want to suggest that there is simcha to some degree, but not quite on par with the simcha of the Shalosh Regalim. And the question is, apidin, how do we quantify that? How do we explain that? What categories do we use to explain this phenomena that there is such a simcha? So we really have two questions if we want to take this third approach. First of all, what's leading us to say this third approach? Like, what was wrong with the first 15 minutes of Shia? Why don't we just take this extreme approach and see the yeah, no? What is pointing in the direction that maybe this third approach is in fact the correct one? And number two, al atzad, that is the correct one. How do we explain it? What's the lomdus? How do we explain this phenomena of, in a sense, a mikta simcha? What in the world does that mean, a mikta simcha? So what leads us to believe that this third category may exist is found in two comments of the Shagas Aryeh. One of them is in the Sefer Shagas Aryeh, Shas Tshuvas Shagas Aryeh. Shas Tshuvas Shagas Aryeh is a little bit of a misnomer. Nobody asked the Shilas. The Shilas that the Shagas Aryeh deals with, no one in a million years ever asked. But the Shagas Aryeh wrote a Shikul Torah, you know, the different Shikul Torahs that he wanted to say, so invoking the model, so to speak, of Shas Tshuvas. So comes the Shagas Aryeh in one place, in the Shas Tshuvas it has one comment, and then the Shagas Aryeh in a different sefer, in a sefer Turei Evin, Perish on different Maseches and Shas, has a different comment. And if you put together those two comments, then I think you'll figure out what the emes is, what the Shita Shagas Aryeh is on this somewhat complicated sugya of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So the Shagas Aryeh in the sefer Shagas Aryeh is discussing the following shiloh. He's discussing, we all know for a fact that you're allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah. That's like, nobody ever questioned that. Avad, you're allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah. Avad, there's a het there, and a v'chol nefesh in Rosh Hashanah. Whatever you're allowed to do in a regular yontif, you're allowed to do in Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to cook, you're allowed to make good and shech, you can bake, you can carry food, you can light candles, as long as it's making a new fire. Whatever you're allowed to do in Shalosh Regalim, everybody knows you're allowed to do in Rosh Hashanah. So the Shagas Aryeh is bothered with that phenomenon, with that halacha. How could it be? How are you talking to Barkazah that you're allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah? Doesn't everybody know, Shagas Aryeh is assuming everybody knows this, but doesn't everybody know that the heter of cooking, the heter of Eichel Nefesh, was basically given to us by the Torah to enhance the celebration of the Yom Tov? Isn't that Muvon Ni'elav, says the Shagas Aryeh, that why is it that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this kula? You're not allowed to do malacha, you're not allowed to do, you can't wash your clothes, and you can't build, and you can't do it, but you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to bake, you're allowed to carry food. Why is that? Manish down of these malachas? Obviously, it's that the Torah is telling us that to enhance Asimcha Sayom, you're allowed to do these malachas that are basically associated with enhancing Asimcha Sayom. So Shagas Aryeh didn't just say this Be'atz, but we had the Gemara Psochim in the sixth bracket that seems to point out this idea, this theme, that there is some kind of a correlation between the mitzvah of Simchas Hayom and the Heter of Eichel Nefesh. So Shagas Aryeh is going with this approach that the basic thrust of the Heter of Eichel Nefesh is based on the existence of Simchas Hayom, and it's based on this that the Shagas Aryeh draws the conclusion that it must be that there is a mitzvah of Simchas Hayom and Rosh Hashanah. Because if not for the mitzvah of Simchas Hayom and Rosh Hashanah, then there would be no Heter V'Echol Nefesh. And we know there's Heter V'Echol Nefesh. Every woman in the kitchen is going to tell you there's Heter V'Echol Nefesh. Everybody knows you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. So, Muchach V'Neyubei, from the fact that everybody knows, Eisim V'Chol Shana, we cook in Rosh Hashanah, there's a Raya Brewer, there must be a Heter V'Echol Nefesh, and there's a Heter V'Echol Nefesh, is presupposing there's a mitzvah Simchas Hayom. That's what Shekhasai writes, it's a Milsa Pshita in his Shalos and Shemus. Then Sheikh Zayi talks a different language in the Sefer Tereven, and he talks a different language to answer a kasha. It's a context of a very, very strange kasha. It's a sugya that appears in Maseches Ksubis, in the fourth parak. It really per se has nothing to do with the Yom Tov. It has absolutely nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, but as we see time and time again, that Kol Torah Kulo Schadi, the Torah is one big picture. And sometimes you're learning a sugya, you think you're learning a sugya in Ksubis, and next thing you know, you're learning a sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So there's a sugya in the fourth parak of Maseches Ksubis that is talking about the ability for a father to hand over his young daughter, either a ketana or a nara, both b'kedushin as well as b'nesuin. He has the koyach to be moise bita in the kedushin, the nesuin, etc. Ksubis tikka sugya. So, in the middle of this sugya, the Gemara talks about the possibility of a girl getting married at a time when there's an issur melacha. You have a concept, there's a time on the clock, time on the calendar, there's a day on the calendar, where it's conceivable that the Torah would allow you to get married and there would be an issur melacha. Why is that important for the sugya? The Gemara is trying to figure out the schus of the father in Maisi Adayim of the girl. The girl goes to work. Is he Zocha and Hamani? Does he have the right to hand her over? The Chop again, it's interesting. This is the fourth back supers we leave out for now. But the Gemara does say, Hocham Haiskin, there is a case, there's a scenario where a person could potentially get married. The Torah would sanction getting married, but it would still be a Zman of Issa Malacha. So, and the Gemara talks about Yom Tov as being one of those days. So Tosfos on the spot gets all nervous. Tosfos says, what do you mean, Yom Tov? Yom Tov? You can't get married on Yom Tov. There's an issa deraisa to get married on Yom Tov. V'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. Sugi maseches ma'kod ne'im arvin simcha v'simcha. You're not going to get married. Even a chalamoyev min ha'tor, you're not going to get married. So Tosfos says, what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is talking about the possibility of getting married on a Yom Tov min ha'torah. But for tangential reasons, I'll simply Yom Tov, you can't get married in a Torah. So Taisa is a lot of trouble. Some of you may remember, I think last year we spoke about this Taisa in the context of Tosefes Yom Tov. I think we may have mentioned this Taisa in the Sukkah Shir. So comes the Shagas Ayin and the Sefer Tereyev and says, I'm going to give you a new answer. Taisa doesn't say this. I'm going to give you an answer. The Yom Tov that the Gemara is referring to, that it's conceivable to get married even though there's an Isra of Halacha, is the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Why are you allowed to get married in Rosh Hashanah? Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, says the Shagas Aryeh, that din of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha doesn't apply in Rosh Hashanah. Atkan Debir Shagas Aryeh. Why not? Min HaTorah, why am I allowed to get married in Rosh Hashanah? Why is Rosh Hashanah different than the Shalosh Regalim? So if you hold, there's no Simchas Yom Tov in Rosh Hashanah that I understand. It's the din of Simchas Yom Tov that's the Geirim for the Yisr of getting married. So the Isser of getting married only exists when there's mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. So if there's no mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, then I understand perfectly well. But don't forget, the Shagas Ayah was the one who said, of course there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. The Shagas Ayah brought his Raya Brewer's arms, that proof was from the Heter V'Echol Nefesh. There's a Heter V'Echol Nefesh. So for Shteitzich, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So how in the world can the Shagas Ayah at the same time tell me in Sefer Shagas Aryeh that there's a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. And yet when it comes to the Isra of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, he ignores and says, no, it's okay, go get married. I'm not Torah, go get married on Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. Go get married, Mazel Tov. How can it be? Is the Simcha Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah or is there not? So at Korchach, what do you see from the Shagas Aryeh? I see from the Shagas Aryeh that there are two parts of Simcha Yom Tov. Not every existence of Simchas Yom Tov translates to mean Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Why is that so? So the answer is Poshut. What's the source of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? V'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. It's the Gemara Maseches Brachot. What does the word b'chagecha mean? We usually translate b'chagecha to mean your holiday, your festival. That's not really the pure halachic translation. The pure halachic translation is mechagecha, it's korban chagigoscha. Mesamach mechagecha means that your simcha in Yontif is supposed to be revolving around the samikdash, about the korban chagiga. Now is not the time to be dancing at your wedding. So the din of samach mechagecha lo mishtecha means that the korban chagiga is supposed to be al korban chagiga. Your alila regel, your shami simcha, that's supposed to be separate and distinct from any personal celebrations that are taking place. Comes the Sheikh Yisayin and says, that din of v'samachta b'chagecha v'ishtecha is a mikdash tikkadin. It's a basically a korbanish tikkadin. So if and when your simcha is expressing itself derech ha-mikdash, derech ha-korbanis, then the halacha says, v'chagecha v'ishtecha. On Rosh Hashanah, even Zol Zayin, there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. It's not a simcha samikdosh. Nobody says simcha samikdosh. So what is it? It's a simcha chutz l'mikdosh. There are two dinim of simcha. There's simcha samikdosh. According to Tosfos, there's only one din of simcha. It's only simcha samikdosh. Says the Sheikh Sariyeh, of course there's a din of simcha samikdosh. But unlike Tosfos, who said it's only simcha samikdosh and nothing else, the Sheikh Yisai says, no, the two dinim. There's Simcha Samikdosh, and there's also Simcha Chutz Samikdosh, Shar Samachos. And they're both the Araisa. But only Simcha Samikdosh is the one that creates the Yisr, creates the din, the corollary of Enav and Simcha B'Simcha. So therefore, we can have a cake and eat it. If you want to know, is there a het of Eichel Nefesh? Am I allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, of course I'm allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah, because there's a mitzvah Simcha Yontif. So what does that mean? I have to put food on my table. So Munach, part of the din of the necessity of putting food on my table is the din that you need to you're allowed to cook. But the second din, the second level, the level of Simcha Samikdosh, that is Taka, not present in Rosh Hashanah, because there's no Alim Rebbe, no Shem Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore the secondary Havocha, the prohibition, the din, they can't get married, Rav Simcha Simcha, Taka doesn't exist in Rosh Hashanah, and that's exactly what the Gemara meant in Maseches Ksubis. So Rabbi said we really have three different diurim as to what the nature is or is not of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. Is Rosh Hashanah really a Zman Simcha Pidin? So you have one extreme, which seems to be Shittas HaTosis, that there's no Simcha, nothing to talk about. I mean, I tell you, with that, with the Raisa, with the Rabban, there's no Simcha in there. Can't be. Rosh Hashanah is not a Simcha B'chlal. On the other extreme, you have Shittas HaRambam, that Simcha is not doing Mikdash. And therefore, Simcha, Shal Shagal, and Rosh Hashanah, it's all the same. Then you have this Tairo, the Sheikh Azari, that, no, there are Taka, two Kiyum of Simcha. The Simcha is a Mikdash, and Simcha Chutz the Mikdash. Simcha is a Mikdash, Taka is not appropriate in Rosh Hashanah. Simcha Chutz the Mikdash is appropriate, even in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Issin Nisuin is not, but Heter Chonefesh will be. L'chayr, they say, this idea that some want to argue there's no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah is very, very hard to accept. Very, very hard to believe. There's no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah b'chlal. Maharil already, hundreds of years ago already said, wait a second, how are you talking there's no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, Maseches Me'ikotim, a person, Rachman Otzlan, is sitting shiva before Yontif. Yontif comes and cancels their velus. Why does Yontif cancel their velus? Because you have a yeshesh rab and yeshesh yochid. Because velus is a private mitzvah, simchas hayom is a public mitzvah. Shiram shel tzibush of klal Yisrael. So the mitzvah of simchas yomtiv is doicha the mitzvah of velus. L'maisa the halacha is if a person rachman l'tzlan is sitting shiv before shoshana kuptu shoshana and cancels you have velus. So yes, the Maharal said, how can you tell me a story that there's no simcha on Rosh Hashanah? Are you talking? There's no Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. How can it be? So then how does Rosh Hashanah have the kach to cancel Avelus? It's a big pella. So it's very hard to say that there's no Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So what does it mean that there is someone who want to argue that there's no Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? So maybe one could suggest the following. Also, Brisket Torah and Nuchas Simcha. Perhaps there are two different halachas of Simcha. There's Simchas HaMaiseh and the Simchas HaLev. Simcha Samaisa means that there are certain activities, certain actions that you have to do to express Simcha. And again, according to some Rishonim, only Simcha Samikdash is one of those Maisim in the Torah. You have to come and eat Kabbalas. According to other Rishonim, you can have Basa Yai and other things are also valid expressions of Simchay De Maisa. But in addition to the din of Simchas HaMaisa, there's the Simchas HaLev, there's a certain mindset, first way a person feels. You'd have all the boss of the yayin in the world and still be miserable. So maybe you did the Maisa, you didn't fulfill Simchas HaLev. So Simchas HaLev may be the source, ultimately, of what creates an Isser of Avelus. The Gemara says, Maseches Maikoton, that when you have a clash between Avelus and Simchas Yontif wins over, because Simchas Yontif is a mitzvah shor abim. Why is there a clash in the first place? Why is there an outright stira between Simchas Yontif and Avelus? Person will do both. So they'll sit on the floor, they'll sit with their shoes off, they'll observe Avelus, and they'll have also the yayin. Why is that a stira? Why is that an absolute impossibility? Why did the Gemara view that as a stira that one has to be doicha the other? So Moshe Sternberg, in his Sefer, suggests that perhaps what Chazal meant was, it's not the Simchas HaMaisim that are a stira. You can sit on the floor and have bosaviyah, that's not a stira. But you have to decide which way your heart's going. Either you have a simcha or not a simcha. Either you're in a good mood or a bad mood. It's hard to be in both moods at the same time. The equal of Avelus on Yontif, the reason why you can't be negative Avelus on Yontif is not an Aveya from the Simchas HaMaisim Shabbat, it's the Aveya from Simchas HaLev Shabbat. And therefore, one could perhaps argue that Simchas HaLev does exist in Rosh Hashanah. Whether or not Simchas Maisim exists, so you can pilpul, it's not Simchas HaMikdosh, maybe there's one din, maybe there's two din, you can pilpul the Ram, Taisa, Shekhisai, a lot of Shekhul Teres. But the fact that a person is not supposed to be miserable, not supposed to be sad on Rosh Hashanah, so that's for sure. Avad and Avad, you're not supposed to be sad in Rosh Hashanah. That would for sure be a bit of the mitzvah of Simcha. And the Chayre, that idea is borne out by the Psukim. The Psukim tell us in Sefer Ezra that when the Klai Yisrael returned, beginning by Sheni, so they had this major celebration of Rosh Hashanah, and the people were very, very upset. They were very, very sad. And part of the tshuva process, they were starting to cry, and they were all upset. They were all bothered. So Ezra says to them, no, please stop crying. You have to be in the state of Simcha. You have to be happy. So what was Ezra telling them? Ezra's just giving them a pep talk, just saying, Ezra was giving him a psak halacha. Ezra was telling him, no, you're not allowed to be upset in Rosh Hashanah. But why not? Whether or not there's a mitzvah bosa v'yayin Rosh Hashanah, we can build. Whether or not you have to say, while the simcha was on, we can talk about. Whether or not there's a nesim in Rosh Hashanah, we can say a shekel tayer about. But the fact that there's a din of simcha saleiv in Rosh Hashanah, therefore, it's not appropriate for a person to be crying, be so upset on Rosh Hashanah. So the Chara, this idea that Rosh Hashanah, to some degree, is a Yom Simcha. To say that there's no Simcha, Rosh Hashanah is mamish, just a sad day on the calendar, or new to that calendar, that's the Chara very, very difficult. Whether it translates to mean, whether it translates to mean, an Isser of Nisuin, so that's up for discussion. Whether it translates to mean, mentioning in the davening, we can pilpul about. But to say it doesn't exist altogether, that's for sure. Avad and avad, there's a notion of simcha on Rosh Hashanah itself. And nevertheless, somehow we sense, and again we saw already in the world of halacha, and intuitively, the Rosh Hashanah is still different from the Shalosh Ragon. There are real differences. Whether those real differences result in not saying Wadam Simcha, whether those real differences result in maybe no Bosa V'yayin, maybe those differences result in no Achilas HaKarbonos, there's no question that there's a difference in the degree of Simcha of Rosh Hashanah and the degree of Simcha of the Shal Shabbat. No question about it. The Rambam paraphrases this distinction that Rosh Hashanah vis-a-vis Simcha is just not the same as the Shal Shabbat. So the Rambam paraphrases this in his description of the reason why we don't say Hal on Rosh Hashanah. So we already quoted it when the end of Rosh Hashanah tells us that we don't say Hal on Rosh Hashanah because Sifri Chaim, Sifri Beisim, Tzuchim Lefan. So we read that Gemara, it sounds almost like a Musa Shmuz. It's like a Musa Shara, a Shara Tshuva, like a say to you, what, how dare you say a Hallel? Don't you know? It's a scary day. So the Rambam, in Uchas Chanukah, we quote the din of Hallel. So the Rambam describes, what is it that you don't say Hallel? What does the Gemara mean when it says Sifri Chaim, Sifri Meis? So the Rambam writes, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that are also not Yemei Simcha Yaseir, the Rambam writes. They're not days of all, of an abundant source of joy. They're not Yimei Simcha Yisera because they Yimei Hadin, because they Yimei Pachad. And therefore, it's just when do we say halal on a yontif? It's not the simcha that's goyim, it's the simcha yaseir. It's almost like the high level of simcha. A simcha, a completed simcha, simcha in its fullness, is a shalosh regalim to a simcha. And that kind of simcha requires a halal. A simcha that's mitigated by the fact that it happens to also be a yom adin, such a yom simcha, it meets the criteria of being a yom simcha, and maybe there's a mitzvah deraisa of simcha, and even according to the Rambam, and maybe there's a chiyah basa. But yeah, even a Torah according to the Rambam, very possible. You may simcha yaseiras nisht. So the Rambam almost like created a new model, almost like invented a new term for us called you may simcha yaseira. So there's simcha, that's the bare bone minimum, and then there's simcha yaseira. Rosh Hashanah is simcha, but simcha yaseiras nisht. So the Rambam, in another place, also uses the term Simcha Yaseira, but here he doesn't refer to all the Shalosh Regalim of that phrase. He reserves that phrase specifically for the Yontif of Sukkot. The Rambam, at the very end of Hilchos Lulav, those who learned Daf Yomi, so very much involved in Simchas Beis Shoeva Sukkot, is the end of the fifth parak of Masechet Sukkah. So the Rambam describes what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot. It's such a party and dancing and singing and juggling acts and torches and maisel, a whole kind of, whole perek chalil, all about the Simchas Beis Shoeva. What are we doing this for? So there's a major machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, where this whole party came from. What is the purpose of this whole celebration? What are we dancing and juggling for on Sukkot? So Rashi writes in a few places that the celebration of Simchas Beis Shoeva was to celebrate the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. It's because of the special mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim that has to be accompanied with great joy, as the pasuk says, "Ushaf demayim besasu mani hayshua." It's a special din that Nisach HaMayim has to be done in a joyful state. "Ushaf demayim besasu," you have to party and dance and juggle and light fires and play the chalils and all this kind of stuff. L'kayim this pasuk "Ushaf demayim besasu." So the Rambam Nuchas Lulav does it right this way. Rambam writes, it's a very nice mitzvah. We're all for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, but it doesn't have to be with such fanfare. Where did the Simchas Beis Shoeva come from? So the Rambam writes, it came from the fact that the Torah describes Sukkot as being Mismach of Neshem HaKadosh Shemus Yom. It's a Zman of Simcha B'Mikdosh. Simcha, Pesach Shavuos are also Yemei Simcha. So Manish Dan of Sukkot. Sukkot is up the Rambam, or Yemei Simcha Yaseira. There are extra levels of Simcha. There's a higher degree of Simcha on Sukkot that is lacking, that is absent on Pesach and Shavuos, and therefore to demonstrate that added key of Simcha, we have separate special parties. We don't have juggling acts, you know, dances, you don't have parades, you know, the torches, the maislach, Pesach Shavuos, you don't do that. Abasukis, you do that. L'kayim Hashinam Musmach Kof Neshem Yisrof Shavuos Yom. Machlokes Rashi and Rambam, what this whole Perek Chaliyah, what the whole Simcha Beis Shoeva is all about, is it an expression of the Simchas HaMitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, or is it an expression of the Yemei Simcha Yaseira of Sukkot, Usmach of Hashem Akechah Shem is Yom. In theory, you could have enough Kamina. Let's say for some reason there's no water around it. We can't do this Chamayim. So according to Rashi, it cancels the Mubesh. According to Rambam, the show goes on because the show is a reflection of Simchas Hayayim B'Mikdash. It's nothing really to do with the Nishchamayim per se. So the Rambam, in describing the days of Sukkot, invokes the identical phrase that he himself created, he himself invented when he spoke of Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam writes that Rosh Hashanah is not a time of Simcha Yisera, Simcha Yeh, Abin Simcha Yisera Nisht. And Sukkot in contrast, Rosh Hashanah is a time of Simcha Yisera. So what does that mean? What is the significance of that? Why is that conceptually, why is that true, that Rosh Hashanah is lacking something and almost like Sukkot, almost like Mashal, where Rosh Hashanah is lacking? So I think the answer is Poshet, at the Rambam in Nuchas Chanukah, when he discusses Challah, why we don't say Challah on Rosh Hashanah. So the Rambam tells us that you can't say Hallel because it's Yemei Adin. And Yemei Adin, by definition, if you really believe it's Yemei Adin, so then there's fakeness in the air. You're in doubt. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. How in the world can it be saved? How can you say with a straight face, scream out the words of Hallel, which is such an expression of Shiras, which is such an expression of Simcha Yaseira. The mice, it's not Simcha Yaseira. It's not. There's something lacking. Something missing on Rosh Hashanah. Yemei Adin are clearly impacting on the degree of simcha that we have. So that's perhaps what the Rambam means, that when is the simcha nifshat? When is the suffering of nifshat? In simcha ketaras ha-sveikis. Sveikis in life creates agitation, creates stress, and when you resolve those sveikis, then there's a tremendous sense of relief, a tremendous sense of simcha. What day At what point on the calendar can we say with certainty that our sfeikas have been resolved? At what point do we feel that the Yemei Adin of Rosh Hashanah have come to an end? That's the Simchos Sukkos. That's what the Medrash tells us, that when a person goes out to war, so Sifri Chaim, Sifri Mesif, Sifri Mufanov, no one knows what the outcome is going to be. His life's on the lines, on the front lines, battle. You know, the old days, they didn't have news, the reporters that were reporting from the front line. It would take a long time till the word came back. We didn't know whether they won the war, they lost the war. As we know about American history, the War of 1812, they fought the last great battle after the war already ended, because nobody knew it. They signed the peace treaty in Europe a couple of months before, but until the word came, it took a while. So here, country sends off its soldiers to the battlefront, and they have no idea whether they want or not. And all of a sudden, they start to see the troops are returning, but they don't know what that means. Does that mean they're returning because they won, or does it mean they're returning because they're running away from the enemy? So there used to be a sign, the Medrash says, in the ancient world. So the troops would come back with their spears, but they would start to wave the spears in the air, wave the swords in the air. That would be a sign of victory, a sign of triumph, a victory, flash the victory sign. So the Medrash says, Mashal Adav Adayme, Jew goes, Rosh Hashanah, says Mitshuva, Yom Kippur, Mishas Bochama, lives on the line, Sifri Chaim, Sifri Mesim, Sifri Lefonov. We have no idea, did he win, did he not win? Was he Matzliach, was he not Matzliach? Comes the first day of Sukkos, walk the shul, everyone shaking the lulav. We won. Here's our swords. We won. We are victorious in the Yemei Adin. The Medrash tells us that Sukkos is the culmination of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's that statement that we have passed that point of Suffolk. Now it's Vada, and now we know we've been victorious in Din. If that's the case, perhaps that's what the Rambam's driving at. That what's missing on Rosh Hashanah is Nishlam, is completed on Sukkos. So the Rambam, in a sense, created this new category for us. The Simcha, Pesach is a Zman Simcha. Shavuos is a Zman Simcha. Rosh Hashanah, you can't say how on Rosh Hashanah. It's not simply saying there's something missing, something lacking, you may have dinner there. When are we going to resolve that? Not Rosh Hashanah, not even Yom Kippur. You're going to come the first day Sukkos, and you take out the lulav, and you start taking the lulav. Oh, the shaking of the lulav dust is the mechayev of Hallel. That's why, in fact, when we dafka say Hallel, the tilos lulav and Hallel are linked one to another. Mishnah tells us we shake the lulav, shasa, Hallel, because the Hallel of Sukkos is a manifestation of the tilos lulav. The tilos lulav is the sign, is the simon muvok that we've overcome the days of Pachad, Yemei Sofek, Yemei Hadin. So the question that we start off with, is Rosh Hashanah a time of Simcha? Is it not a time of Simcha? It's a very hard question to answer. It's a risk of Torah. When the Sam Mishayim is Nishkin's man Simcha, and Mishayim is his man Simcha, is it Dini Simcha? Samikdash, not Dini, the two Dini Simcha. When the Shem Yisai, the Simcha Samikdash, the Simcha Chutz to Mikdash, maybe Rosh Hashanah is one or the other. According to Sturmberg, there is a Simcha Salev and Simcha Samaisi, Rosh Hashanah is one without the other. So there's Simcha as a Tompkin. So I'm just a question, but you got to... A real Lamdan, he only gives a half smile on Rosh Hashanah, not a full smile, not a bit of Sifri Seira. So you got to be careful. So even Simcha has to be analyzed through the lens of Torah, through the lens of Lamdas. But Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to begin the period of Rosh Hashanah. What better way, as we said, the opening of the Shiur, better way than to begin with Divrei Torah? Good Hashem, Hashem, Sam Kalev. There's no question you can learn Torah Rosh Hashanah. L'chol HaDeis you can learn Torah Rosh Hashanah. L'chol HaDeis you can enjoy the Simchas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah. You can enjoy the night of Slichas. You can enjoy Rosh Hashanah. You can enjoy it on Yom Kippur. You can enjoy it except for Tisha B'Av every day of the year. It's a time. If you want to know what mitzvah gedol lios b'simcha tamid means, it's a mitzvah to learn Torah all the time. That's what it really means. Because Kudei Hashem Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Hashem, you know, we've had the opportunity over the years to grow in Torah together. Different Talmidim from different kufas, different mesechtas. I think maybe we should have everybody next year run a tab. Which mesechta you with me? With that way, I remember a little bit, get a better sense. So, Baruch Hashem, I see the Bava Basra boys and the Avamas boys and the Shabbos boys and the Brachas boys and the Pflacha boys and the cross spanning Shas. Baruch Hashem, we've been doing to celebrate the Simchas Torah together. So we hope and pray that Baruch Hashem gives us Yat Shemaya, him to grow in our Torah and our mitzvahs and our Simchas Hayoyim and Simchas Hachayim. And this coming year should be, Hashem, just a year of great, great Simcha for us. Great Simcha for us as individuals and as a tzibur for Klal Yisrael. It should be a great simcha to the world. The world needs a lot of things. One thing we need is a real simcha. Hopefully, should give us this year of Olim L'Toiva. Should be a year of wonderful, wonderful simcha for us and for all of us. Okay. Kol tov, a good vacht, everybody. And it's a pleasure to have everyone with us. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem. We'll keep you posted about future endeavors. Okay? Kol tov, a good vacht, everybody.